God. How many of you have been participating in whether it's the Sunday service or like right here talking through the sermons? I mean, you have been, obviously, right? How many of you have been participating in the Sunday discussions? How many of you have been participating in the community groups as well? Can I just see a show of hands? All right. Okay. Good. So this is the five steps that we're trying to go through, and we're seeing this as a very monumental step towards a direction of God. So we have been thinking and sort of researching on how do people grow in faith? How do people grow in Jesus? And we understand that it's very important to have good habits, and that's why we spent a couple of months actually talking about habits, right? But if you've been paying attention, this whole life with God thing, it also revolves around building habits. We just don't put it in that way, right? But every single day you're expected to rest in God, to have quiet meditation before God through silent prayer sometimes. Sometimes you would write, you would journal, just kind of just let your interior be open to God. For some, those of you who have been in the groups have been practicing beholding, right? What have you guys been doing? Do you remember? You guys were taking a couple of minutes, or actually, it's actually longer, staring into each other's eyes. Some of you are like laughing. So you're like, what? What are we doing, right? I've heard people saying, oh, this is pretty uncomfortable, looking into another person's eyes, you know. But most people find it refreshing, okay? For me, when I did that experience, when I looked into another brother's eyes, I sensed that God was telling, love this brother right in front of you. I love him too, just as much as I love you. Okay? So there's a lot of these things that we are practicing. We believe that practicing spiritual disciplines is one of the keys to spiritual growth. Okay? And we're calling this a discipleship pathway. Disciple of Jesus is someone who follow Jesus, and we're sort of putting things together to create a pathway where there are steps that you can take. Practicing spiritual disciplines is one of them, and we really want you to continue to go on that route, because what you do every day eventually will help you strengthen those muscles to respond to God. And the other three are being in community, you know, being accountable, being in a gathering of people who are thinking of the same things, right? What God actually cares about, the church, right? That's one other next step of the discipleship pathway. The other one would be to discover your gifts and to serve. If you don't know your gifts, you really should do some assessment, ask good friends, you know, where your gifts and talents are, and begin to serve, because God is most satisfied when you do that, when you're serving other people. And the other next step is to know God and to know self, okay? To increase your knowledge to who God is, and therefore, who am I? And to gain that self-knowledge. So know God, know self, discover your gifts and serve, practice spiritual disciplines, and be in community, okay? We can spend a lifetime on these things. And we believe that as we help people to get on the discipleship pathway through various ministries, we will grow. We'll grow in the likeness of Christ, okay? So today is the fourth one of the five step, and it's decluttering. Decluttering. We talked about the first step being awakening to God, second step being beholding, which is looking at God, seeing into God's eyes, and also be seeing the way that God sees, okay? And then it's sort of like the ABC, right? Like Pastor Tina has done a really good job, right? C for centering. Yes, I can remember that. Okay, it's to find that center, find God as your center. I've heard people describing it as like a wheel with spokes, right? The center and then spokes, and then the wheel itself. And the wheel is sort of like our outer life, and the center spoke is sort of spinning, and it holds up, the center is spinning, holds up all the spokes, right? And the center is God himself. And that's where we're constantly trying to go back to. Like when we say, let's center around God. Let's center ourselves. What we're trying to say is, let's be in the presence of God. Let's reorient. Right? Because sometimes we're kind of all over the place and chaotic, right? And today, next week, we're going to talk about enfolding, which is embracing. Right? And this week, we're going to talk about decluttering. What do you think about when we talk about decluttering? All right? Someone told me when he heard the word decluttering, he says, are you going to go Marie Kondo on us? Something like that, right? Because that's sort of the thing right now. Actually, maybe some of us in the room don't know who Marie Kondo is, right? The Japanese lady who wrote a book a long time ago, but recently sort of hit it huge, right? She says that, whatever you do, and tidying up and organizing your home, throwing things away, you know, you should really only display things that spark joy, right? That term is sort of kind of catching huge waves. Just let me comment on that, because I actually watched the Netflix series, Tidying Up. Yes. How many of you actually watched that? Wow. And have you actually done something? Have you done something about it? How many of you actually done something about it? Seriously. I have too. My jeans are rolled up. And it's been a couple of months, and it's still rolled up. It's actually pretty good. I used to pull a jean out of my jar, and the other jeans that I folded would just go all over the place. And I'm like, what's... And I've been doing this for 40 years. Can you believe it? Like, I can't believe this. Okay, so what's going on, right? What's going on when the world is also talking about tidying up? So when you... The thing about the whole tidying up thing with the Japanese lady, it's not just organizing your home. Do you remember what she was doing? She was like thanking the things that you need to throw away. You almost saw her sort of pray on the floor, right? I think in the eyes of the world, she is bringing in something spiritual. I don't know if you agree. You might say, no, that's not spiritual, right? I can tell you, a lot of our friends think she's spiritual, okay? There's that element that, you know, thanking the house, right? The other thing that's on Netflix right now, this sounds like, is this a sermon or what? The other thing that's on Netflix right now, not right now, but it has been for a long time, is minimalism. How many of you watch minimalism? No? Yeah. Because it's just rich, single, white guys, right? So no one watches that. Just watch Japanese ladies, right? So that one is about two guys, two male, who are, one used to be like an investment banker, and the other one, I forgot what he used to do, but gave up their lifestyle. They were thinking that, one of them was like, I have been collecting things all my life, accumulating a lot of stuff, but it's not doing me any good. So there was this discovery, and they decided to sell their stuff to think about what they can actually live with. The least amount that they can live with. And that also has caused a wave. Okay, so it sort of allowed people to think, oh man, maybe this is something that I should do. Okay, so we can go back and take a look at these things, tidying up and minimalism. We can think that, okay, these are fads. You know, give it 5 years. You know, they might be gone, okay? But what are these things telling you? What are these things telling us? Is that perhaps the life of a first country, you know, like first world country, you know, North American, Canadian life maybe has come to a point where they're awakening to the fact that accumulation does not necessarily mean transformation. Accumulation of possession does not necessarily equate to a kind of life change. And that is something that we need to realize. Because a lot of us do spend our time since a young age, including myself, thinking about how to amass, thinking about how to accumulate. And I'm not here this morning to say that, you know, you need to have nothing. You know, your bank account needs to be zero to follow Jesus. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I do want to point to the fact that maybe there is something that is missing in our lives. Maybe we need to do some decluttering. Maybe some things in our lives needs to be cleared up a little bit. Today's passage is found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. And it was Jesus who said this, "Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The whole practice of decluttering has to do with throwing things away, removing things that are unnecessary. Now, I'm not quite sure if Jesus actually had decluttering in mind when he said this, okay? Maybe it wasn't that word. Maybe it's not the exact term that he used. But there are three observations that I think would help us to begin to take on this mindset of removing things that are unnecessary in our lives. And to think in a Christian way through decluttering. Okay? The first one is, if you look at what Jesus is saying, Jesus obviously is saying that you need to give up something in order for you to gain something. The first observation here is that this life that you're actually losing is not the same as the one that you will be gaining. Does that sound too obvious? We're all to give up anything that is burdening us. And in return, we will find something more and more. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle Paul says this, "What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." In the Apostle Paul's mindset, it is quite opposing these two lives, right? He even considers that I have lost everything. He now sees all those things as garbage, useless, and unhelpful. But rather, he now sees Christ as that being, that person for him to gain. The first observation through decluttering is you have to be removing things in order for you to see clearly what you're actually gaining. Okay? You have so much stuff that you can't really see what's really important. Now, the best example I can think of is actually my work desk. Okay? Which my wife always tells me, you need to clean up your desk. Okay? Because on my desk are many things. Books, documents, cables, 3 to 4 cups at any given moment. How many? Does that resonate with some of you guys? Yeah? No, you guys, I'm tidy. On good days, I will start cleaning up. And after I cleaned up, what I gained was a sense of clarity where things are once again. The important stuff would be in the places that I can see. The less important stuff will be hidden away. Things like that. For you to be gaining this life that Jesus is talking about, to be finding this life that Jesus is talking about, there must be something in life that you need to remove. The two lives are not the same. You're losing one kind of life and you're gaining another kind of life. They're not the same. Okay, so think about that. The second observation through what Jesus is thinking is that it is for his sake. When you lose your life, it is for his sake. It is for his sake that you're losing your life. And it's clear that Christ is saying he is the reason for you to be on this journey. For you to be on this journey where you're continually losing your old life and gaining this new life in Christ. He is the reason. And why do I say that this is so important? It's because a lot of people come to church, they will sort of equate being a disciple or Christian as being a nice person, being a kind person, being a morally upright person, being, and this is actually not, this is actually right, but it's not all right. It's not entirely right, okay? Being a moral person, being a kind person is the byproduct of having the life of Jesus in you. It is because of this intimacy and union with God. It is because of this intimacy that you have with Christ that He changes you. And He is the motivation and the reason. And that's why people can actually serve other people that are you know, that the world consider more lowly than they are, right? They can sort of just put away their status to serve, right? It's because they actually see Jesus in those people that they're serving. Jesus is the reason, okay? Not morality. So it has to be very, very clear that our faith in Christ Jesus, it's not on a set of rules of what to do and what not to do. Our faith is actually on a person, and His name is Jesus. That's the second observation. The third observation, through what Jesus is saying, whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it, is that the life you will find, what kind of life is this? The life, it is the life of Christ. The life you will find is the life of Christ. The life you will find is the life of Christ. And I repeat that same passage that Paul wrote in Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. So Paul here is thinking that I need to lose those things that I don't need, especially my sinful self, and to gain this life that is Christ. So a Christian would have Jesus living in them. The life that you will gain is the life that is of Jesus and nothing else. And so we are coming to a point where I hope that we're seeing clear and clear what this whole thing about decluttering is about for us. Yeah. It's not about that. It's not about we can be a more moral person. You know, we can be kinder. We can be, you know, have more character in us, more integrity and whatnot. That, yeah, that's a byproduct. But really, you want to declutter because you want to see Christ's life lived through you. You want to lose your old life for the sake of finding the life of Christ. And I think what describes the Christian life the best is on Sermon on the Mount. I didn't put this on the slide. I just want us to be, you know, pulling out our Bibles. And would you be able to use the paper Bible today? Yeah, let's use the paper Bible right in front of you. Matthew chapter 5. Okay. Usually, I don't mind. Usually, I don't mind people using their phone. I sometimes use my phone for the Bible as well. You know, I use YouVersion. How many of you use YouVersion? Yes. How many of you are actually on a plan? Okay, good. Yeah, good. I don't mind it, right? But you know, the whole life with God thing, what we're talking about, right? The whole life with God thing, Pastor Tina actually uses it as a study on screen addiction. Okay, so there's actually a practical application there. It's not just life with God. That's important enough. But it's using life with God as a way to look at a kind of addiction that we cannot stay off this that screen, you know? That screen, which is like a portal through which we look at our possessions. We maintain, we acquire, we sell, we do transaction, right? There's a reason why we're addicted to our screens, not just the games. Right, it's because we do a lot of transactions through it. And that's the reason why I believe there's all kinds of transaction through that. And I think it's a very, very timely topic. Matthew 5 describes what Christ says, how those who are blessed will look like, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, and this is the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This is probably the most radical way of looking at a Christian life. One who is poor in spirit, one who is mourning, one who is meek or humble, right? One who seeks peace and show mercy, one who is pure in heart. This is radical. This is radical. When we talk about how we're shaping our kids, or how the world is telling us how we should behave, right? It's not this picture. Can you imagine? It's not this picture, right? The world's telling us a different picture. Blessed are those who get A's in school, which is great. Not bad, right? I want my kids to have A's. I don't want my kid to have C's, right? Blessed are those who, you know, can pay their mortgage very soon. Blessed are those who has a rental property. And I have to say, this is not wrong. It is not wrong. But the whole process of decluttering is you have to do the hard work to ask what is the most important, and you do go seek it. You go after it. You go after it. And that way you can inherit the kingdom of heaven. So I absolutely don't want to pitch the whole Christian life as you have to be poor to be a Christian. Or when you're rich, you're not a good Christian. That is not the point. The point is whether you're rich or poor, if the life of Christ is evident in you. That is the whole point. That is the whole point. So this is the you have to evaluate yourself as whether the life of Christ is living through you. Fruit of the Spirit, for example. Are you making progress in your character development? Are you knowing God and knowing yourself more through studying of Scripture, through being in community? Are you serving others? Do you know your gifts? And we're going back to it. Are you practicing? Are you strengthening your spiritual muscles? Right, so these are the things that we really, really want to help you to do. So now we kind of take a turn to this term that Pastor Tina also quoted last time. It's called purgation, right? It's this idea that of purging, you're throwing away stuff, deleting things, right? When I used to code, there's this purge command. It's like delete all, and everybody's like scared of that thing, right? It's like don't delete all of the files, right? Purge is like a huge term. And in the study guide, it quotes Robert Mulholland. It says that purgation is the process of becoming integrated into the new order of being in Christ. Okay, that purgation is the process of becoming integrated into a new order of being in Christ. So there's something new happening when you throw things away. And this is where we come to Bruce Lee. Yes. Bruce Lee says, I don't know, like you find these quotes online, you're not quite sure if this is really him, right? But he says this, it's not a daily increase, but a daily decrease. Do you like my Bruce Lee voice? Yeah? Hack away at the inessentials. Wow. It's not a daily increase, but a daily decrease. You need to hack away the unessential things that you don't need. Wow. Okay. And Michelangelo, the sculptor, and I'm not sure if this quote's from him, but I try my best to find multiple references of it. All right. He says as a sculptor, you know, he's a sculptor, right, from one of his many, many talents. The sculpture is already complete within the marble block before I start my work. It is already there. I just have to chisel away the superfluous material. So when Michelangelo looks at a block of marble rock, he actually sees something in it. And his role is to chip away all those things that are unnecessary so that that thing can come out. You believe it? It's a pretty cool mindset. I think God is also like a sculptor who is sculpting and chipping away the things that are unnecessary in your life right now. And so that true form of Christ, life of Christ, can come out through you. And it'll look different. It won't all look the same. We'll have some basis, right? Some basis of character, a man of character, woman of character, loving kindness, fruit of the Spirit will be showing, but we're unique in our own ways because of God's creation. I think God, when God sees in you, I'm not calling you a marble block, by the way, right? God actually sees Christ in you as well. Christ wants to live through you. Christ wants to live through you. So let's get practical for a moment, okay? It's where we're talking about decluttering, and the purpose of it is so that Christ's life will be flowing and living through you. You find joy in God. And it is different than what the world is telling us as outlined in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Beatitudes, as we just said. Let's get practical. And this is the place where I get to this book called Atomic Habits. And Atomic Habits, it's by this gentleman called James Clear. And I have been sort of researching on habits for the past 6 to 7 months because of my own need to cut sugar off out my life, because I just need to be, I just need to watch out for my you know, like diabetes and things like that. It's kind of in my genetics, as my doctor says. So just been researching on that. And came across this gentleman, and he says that if you want to build a habit, if you want to build up a habit, I think I have the slide. Yeah, you can have four things that you can make this habit have these attributes, right? Make this habit obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, and make it satisfying, okay? I'm not going to focus on this. You can actually look it up online, not right now, okay, later on. But he says that if you want to tear down a habit, you do the reverse. Okay, how many of you have actually seen this before? Anybody seen this before? Yeah? Yeah, okay. One person, all right. So, okay, at least you're learning something new, I hope. So next slide, if you want to tear down a habit, what do? You make it unobvious. So next slide, thanks. Make it unobvious, make it unattractive, make it difficult, and make it unsatisfying, okay? So for example, what do? When you... Let's say on screen addiction, how do you make it like you are attached to your laptop or your phone? You have to make your phone disappear, throw it into the toilet. No. I know in the guidebook it says that put your phone away, one room away from you before you go to bed. Okay, that's good practice. You make it sort of invisible. I usually take it one more step. I turn it off. I turn it off so that when it loads up, it at least takes another 30 seconds. That's making it difficult. you can do that ritual too, you know. Thank you and good night. See you later. Right? Put it away if you have, detachment and attachment issues. Yeah? Make it invisible, okay? If you have a gaming console, man, what are you going to do? I don't know. Unplug it every time and put it in a cabinet. Man, the gamers here are like revolting. It's like, what? Don't you ever unplug my console. The second thing is make it unattractive, which is sort of another way of saying just make it uncool. And how do you do that? You know, we find what's cool and cool when we hang out with people. That's based on the study from James Clear, right? So that hang out with people, so the reverse is make it attractive. Hang out with people who are talking and thinking about the same thing, practicing about the same thing. That would actually help you develop that you're immersed in that culture. It'll make it easier for you, right? So if you find that you actually have a group of friends that are influencing you on certain subjects that you're actually addicted to right now, it may be time, I'm not asking you to defriend them, but it may be time to review your schedule and to think about the times that you've been spending with these friends and what are the influences, negative or positive, from them, okay? So the third one is to make it difficult, just like I said. You know, he uses the example of beer, right? If you have someone has a problem with drinking beer and buys the beer, now he's not talking about alcoholism. You know, that's too very severe. You need to see a counselor with that. Go through programs, right? AA and things like that. He's just talking about, you know, that urge that you want to kind of kick, right? You don't want to, you know, have beer belly and things like that. Just get the beer, put it in the fridge, but put it in the lowest shelf. Right? Okay, so that you actually don't see it most of the time. They make it more difficult for you to access it. Put it in the cold room. All right? Last one is unsatisfying. Make it unsatisfying. And it's a very good insight that he has. He says that usually the things that are worthwhile is very unsatisfying short term, but very satisfying in the long term. So for example, if you want to exercise, if you want to be healthy, you will exercise. But exercising is actually very unsatisfying at the moment, right? Especially when you're just starting, it's very, very unsatisfying. But over the long haul, you will become more satisfied because you are growing healthy, right? And so think about that. Make it unsatisfying. So how do you do it? He gives a point, and this is very interesting. He says that before you focus on what you're going to do, focus on the who. Before you focus on what you're going to do, focus on the who. And what he means by that is, don't just think about what you're going to do to make it unsatisfying, but think about the person that you're going to become. The person that you want to become. You want to become a person who does not look at your phone constantly. You want to be a person who can be fully present to your spouse, to your friends, to your loved ones, to people around you. Focus on that, because that will give you that short-term satisfying, at least you're thinking about it. All right, so these are some practical steps that I hope in the coming weeks we can start testing it, because we're talking about, you know, the screen addiction. I know for a lot of us it's very, very hard. And if it's not a problem for you, maybe there's something else, and maybe you can identify that something. And so, on the topic of decluttering, and I'm going to ask the team to come up as we wrap up. Jesus shared this parable in Matthew chapter 13. And he says that the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And so this parable really, really stirred my imagination. I'm just imagining this man going to a piece of land and all of a sudden discovering great treasure in it. And Jesus describes it. It's only like a couple of lines of scripture, but he says that man found the treasure, and then what did he do? He hid it again. He just put it away. It's kind of like, you know, you go to Walmart and you saw something and it was the last item. Like, but I need to go do something else, and you put it somewhere else. Okay, no one wants to admit to that. All right. The kingdom of God is like that. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that. And so you think about what truly matters. What are you seeking? What are you seeking right now? Is Jesus your focus? That you are going after? Is Jesus your heart's desire, and that you would lose everything to gain him? Romans, it says this, for God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Yeah, let us pray. Father God, we are here right before you. And Lord, really, there's nothing to hide. And we pray that you will help us remove and hack away the inessential, Lord, so that we can see you clearly. And so what's troubling us in our lives right now, God? Would you point us to those things? Holy Spirit, would you help us? And would you help us be honest to ourselves, God? We come to you, and even in our prayers, sometimes we're not honest. Sometimes we hide stuff from you as if we can. But you know it. You know what's grasping a hold of our hearts right now, and it's not you. And would you help us to let go of those things? And it'll take some time, we know, but we trust that by your power we can get through this, God. So would you give us faith? Would you give us faith as we learn to deal with those habits that are destructive to us, God? Let us remember that you demonstrated your own love for us while we were still sinners, while we were still undeserving. Christ, your Son, died for us. And thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.